Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're jumping into the pretty wild world of luxury real estate. We'll be looking across the U.S., maybe touching on some global comparisons too.
Yeah, it's a fascinating area.
Yeah.
We've got a whole stack of recent Pocket Listing Insights pieces to dig into.
Right. We're looking at, you know, shifting market hotspots, what makes the ultra wealthy tick when they're buying property, all that good stuff.
Exactly. We've got insights on everything from top U.S. markets, DC's unique scene, Miami versus Dubai, Ken Griffin's motivations.
Yeah, him.
That huge NYC penthouse listing, how the market's changed over the last decade, future trends like tech and sustainability.
That's a lot.
DC's billionaire enclaves, the boom in NYC condo sales, the world's priciest cities, and even this placement Alapan in Florida, maybe the next Palm Beach. So quite a bit to unpack.
Definitely. And our goal, as always, is to pull out the really interesting bits for you, the learner. Give you a clear picture of the top end of the market without, you know, drowning you in data. Find those aha moments.
Connect the dots a little.
Exactly. Okay, so let's start with the big picture in the U.S. The landscape seems to be, well, shifting.
It really is. What's fascinating, I think, is looking at those WSJRealtor.com rankings. St. Louis, still top for affordable luxury. That might surprise people.
Totally surprises me. Affordable luxury. What does that even mean in St. Louis?
It's about the value, right? You get way more space, maybe some incredible historic architecture for what you'd pay for, like a closet on the coast. It appeals to a certain buyer.
Okay, that makes sense. Space and character over ocean views, maybe?
Sort of, yeah. And Detroit's holding strong, too, even with a small price dip. The Midwest generally seems to be this pocket of, let's say, accessible luxury. Minneapolis is up there too.
So it really messes with that whole coastal elite perception, doesn't it?
It does. And then you contrast that with Santa Barbara's super expensive, classic California coast appeal.
Right. But then San Diego's actually getting more accessible, more inventory, prices dipping a bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. So it's not one single story, even on the coasts.
And then you've got these Sunbelt spots like Asheville and Prescott gaining ground.
While places like Nashville and Atlanta, which were booming, are maybe cooling off a bit. More houses on the market. Demand maybe plateauing slightly.
Huh. It shows how quickly things can change, where people want to be.
And it suggests maybe a rethink of what luxury means for some people. Is it just the price tag? Or is it affordability plus city amenities like in St. Louis? Or maybe that lifestyle mix you get in Asheville.
Good point. Okay, let's pivot to D.C. Washington's always its own animal, isn't it? And luxury there sounds like it's all about staying under the radar.
Oh, absolutely. Privacy isn't just nice to have. It's basically requirement number one.
So how do they do it? NDAs.
NDAs are standard, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of private pocket listings deals that happen totally off market. Using LLCs to buy a property, though, you know, that's not always bulletproof. Public records can sometimes reveal who's behind them.
Right. And the speakeasy club sounds very click and dagger.
It kind of is. This network of elite agents just matching buyers and sellers quietly. And sometimes listings are deep private, like zero public info. It's purely word of mouth among the right people.
Wow. Does that make it harder for, you know, outsiders to break in or create weird market dynamics?
That's a fair question. It definitely impacts transparency at that super high end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about secret deals. It's physical security, too. Gates, screens, even safe rooms.
Safe rooms, really.
Yeah, it underscores how much these buyers, especially the tech billionaires and political figures moving in, value their anonymity. The article even mentioned a Trump bump, people wanting to keep a lower profile.
Okay, that's intense. All right, let's shift gears again. Miami versus Dubai. Two big global luxury hubs, but attracting different crowds.
Seems that way. Miami's apparently pulling in a lot of UK buyers.
Yeah.
Like the pro-business feel, the culture, Art Basel's a big draw, and obviously the finance and tech growth. Bezos moving there didn't hurt.
Right, the Bezos effect. And these branded residences are hot there, like hotel brands on condos.
Exactly, places like Cipriani Residences. And they're selling units like crazy, even years before they're finished. Shows huge confidence.
Okay. And Dubai?
Dubai seems to be more of a magnet for Middle Eastern and Southeast Asian wealth. It's a major hub for them, business and lifestyle. And yeah, branded residences are big there too. Same appeal, luxury living, plus top-tier service.
Interesting parallel. Anything else driving development in those places?
Well, there's this emphasis on authentic and natural environments.
Mm-hmm.
Even the super rich want some connection to nature, apparently. And there's talk of maybe blending, you know, American ambition with European design flair.
Like a hybrid style.
Potentially. Though there's also a counter-argument that London might make a comeback because its prices are looking a bit more competitive globally, so it's always shifting.
Always moving target. Okay, speaking of big money and motivations, Ken Griffin. His real estate moves are just staggering. Is it all about the investment return for him or something else?
The analysis suggests it's really a mix, but maybe leaning more towards personal satisfaction and lifestyle, especially with that Palm Beach place.
The potential billion-dollar one. Yeah, that sounds less like flipping for profit.
Exactly. Seems driven by wanting the ultimate place for himself, his family, maybe his mother specifically mentioned. It shows that even at that level, personal stuff can trump pure finance, which is, you know, human.
$1 billion is very human.
Yeah.
But then his New York condo on Billionaire's Row, that feels more like status and parking wealth, right?
Definitely checks those boxes. Fry Manhattan real estate is always a statement.
But he lost money on his Chicago properties?
Apparently, yeah. Significant losses. Which hints maybe it was a strategic decision to just get out of Illinois, possibly for personal or political reasons, rather than maximizing profit.
Okay, so complex motives. And moving Citadel HQ to Miami, buying homes there that looks like business and lifestyle lining up?
Precisely.
Mm.
And then you add in the places in Solitez, Aspen, the Hamptons. It points to lifestyle, prestige. Real estate is clearly more than just numbers on a spreadsheet for him.
Absolutely. It's the whole package. Okay, sticking with big numbers. Back to New York. That $110 million penthouse listing at 111 West 57th in this market.
Yeah, it's a headline grabber. But the point made is that even with market jitters like the Dow dropping, there's still appetite among the global elite for these collector item properties.
A collector's item apartment, I guess, at that price.
Right. They see it as a secure store of value. And this one, potential for a quadplex, those insane views, it fits the bill.
A quadplex. Wow. And are these nine-figure sales becoming, like, normal now?
More common. Maybe not normal. But, yeah, we see them more often. However, the article does caution that even these buyers are getting, well, more careful.
How so?
Negotiations might take longer. Sellers might have to be more flexible, maybe make price adjustments more discreetly. So the very top isn't totally immune to reality, just maybe better insulated.
Right. They still want value, even if value means $100 million.
Pretty much. They're still savvy buyers.
Okay, so we've looked at specific places, specific people. Let's zoom out again. The last decade or so, it sounds like luxury real estate has really transformed.
Oh, definitely. Since around 2015, you've seen huge shifts. Like in L.A., the rise of the mega mansion. 20,000 square feet plus.
Just enormous places. Why? Just space.
Space, privacy, amenities, home theaters, gyms, massive offices became standard. And then there's the buyer profile changing.
Younger buyers. Tech money.
Exactly. Tech, venture capital, even social media fortunes fueling it. And they have different tastes, more tech-savvy homes, focus on sustainability, maybe more minimalist design sometimes.
Makes sense. Their expectations are different. And social media probably influences what luxury even looks like now, right?
That's a great point. It likely shapes the perception of desirable features and aesthetics.
And New York's changed, too. Not just uptown anymore.
Right. Tribeca. Soho. They're giving the traditional prime spots a run for their money, attracting different types of buyers, driving modern development.
And it's not just the U.S., right? Toronto was mentioned.
Yeah, Toronto's seeing more domestic buyers snapping up luxury properties, multi-generational families, more women buyers. And they want specific things. Open concepts, but with defined zones, smart tech, wellness features.
Yeah, wellness features like yoga rooms and stuff.
Stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Air filtration, natural light, dedicated fitness spaces. Meanwhile, Palm Beach went from seasonal to year-round. Prices shot up. Miami shifted from retirement haven to corporate hotspot. Lots of new builds. Focus on indoor-outdoor living.
It's dizzying how much has changed. Even San Francisco, after its dip, might bounce back in condos because of tech.
That's the thinking. The tech influence is just so strong, there's a really dynamic picture across the board.
Okay, so that's the past decade. What about the future? Where are luxury homes headed? Tech, sustainability, personalization seem key.
Absolutely. The market held up pretty well in 2024, all things considered. And now, yeah, tech isn't a bonus. It's expected. Voice control, amazing sound systems, smart everything.
And AI is creeping in.
Definitely. For security, managing energy use, that's highly desired now. And the green push is real. Solar panels, super efficient windows, sustainable materials. Buyers are asking for this stuff.
So it's not just a trend, it's becoming fundamental.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it still comes down to custom design, finding those unique unicorn properties, something with a special location, amazing architecture, features you can't find anywhere else.
Bespoke is the word. Okay, let's swing back to D.C. quickly. These billionaire enclaves, what's the story there?
Well, it looks like a concentration of tech wealth. Primarily Zuckerberg, Bezos, Peter Thiel, Eric Schmidt were mentioned, plus other political and business heavyweights.
Why D.C. specifically? Just proximity to power.
That seems to be a big part of it. Being close to the political action, the decision-making, Zuckerberg's big purchase, Bezos' initial Kalorama place. They gotta pave the way.
And that's heating up the whole market there. More competition.
Yeah, pushing prices up, apparently. Some places selling over asking. It brings economic activity, but also raises those familiar concerns about gentrification and affordability for everyone else.
Right, the double-edged sword. Okay, shifting slightly within the high-end, NYC luxury condos. Sounds like they're booming specifically.
The numbers are pretty striking. The Olson report showed a 35% jump in sales, March 25 versus the year before. 131 sales.
Wow, and people are buying places that aren't even built yet.
Yeah, that was interesting. High demand for under-construction condos, like one project on Jane Street, selling out most units way ahead of its 2026 completion. Shows a lot of faith in future value.
Or maybe they just want something brand new. Avoid renovations.
That too. Olson mentioned buyers preferring places in great condition. Maybe renovation hassle, maybe worries about tariffs on materials, who knows. But turnkey seems popular.
Makes sense. And this is happening even with higher mortgage rates.
Yeah, the luxury end seems less bothered by rate hikes. These buyers often pay cash or have high income, so it's less of a factor. And it's not just NYC seeing similar strength in places like Florida, too.
So the very top end is just playing a different game.
Pretty much. That top contract mentioned nearly $20 million on Jane Street, loaded with amenities. That's the target market.
Okay, NYC is clearly still a beast. But globally, where does it sit? Who's the most expensive?
Monaco still holds the top spot. Just under $39,000 per square meter. Tax haven status, lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's got the magic formula.
$39,000 per square meter. Mind-blowing. Who's next?
New York City is number two, around $27,500. Culture, business, education drive that. Think Central Park South, Upper East Side.
Still way up there.
Then Hong Kong at number three, around $26,300. Tight space, high demand. London's fourth, just under $24,000. History, business, schools, keep it strong.
So the usual suspects dominate the top tier. Any other interesting names in the top ten?
Yeah, you've got Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat on the French Riviera, then Paris, Sydney, Palm Beach, Miami Beach, and L.A. rounds it out. A mix of pure lifestyle plays and global hubs.
Gives you a good global snapshot. Okay, finally, Manalapan, Florida. The next Palm Beach. Is that hype or reality?
Well, the article makes a pretty compelling case. Larry Ellison pouring hundreds of millions into the area certainly helps raise its profile.
Right, when a tech titan buys half the town.
Exactly. It offers that super luxe, oceanfront living, but it's much quieter, less commercial than Palm Beach. That appeals to certain ultra-rich buyers seeking real privacy.
More seclusion. And the numbers back it up.
They do. Luxury sales over $10 million surged 350% in 2024. Median home price is nearly $50 million. And it apparently has America's priciest listing coming up at $285 million.
Whoa. Okay, so maybe is the next Palm Beach, or at least a serious rival for a certain kind of buyer.
It seems to be carving out that niche, yeah. A billionaire's hideaway.
So, wrapping this all up, it's clear the luxury market isn't just one thing, is it? It's incredibly varied.
Absolutely. You've got surprising affordability driving some markets, this intense focus on privacy in others, huge global money flows, and then just the personal whims of the super rich.
Right. From smart homes packed with AI to classic coastal estates, it's this mix of economics, lifestyle, geography, yeah. All constantly changing.
It really is. And it makes you think, with these billionaire enclaves popping up and this obsession with privacy and customization, What does community even mean for the wealthiest people anymore?
That's a great question. Is it less about where you live physically and more about who you associate with, the level of exclusivity you share?
Exactly. Is it shifting from geography to, I don't know, shared interests or just shared wealth brackets? Something to definitely chew on.
Definitely food for thought. Well, if you found this dive into the deep end of the property pool interesting, there's obviously tons more to explore in those pocket listing reports we mentioned.
Yeah, dig in if something specific caught your eye. Maybe you'll spot the next big thing.
Thanks for diving deep with us.